Welcome to IKP's Digital Film Podcast, where we literally discuss everything and anything in the digital film world that tickles our fancy. This could be the latest Blu-ray releases to the latest theater releases. Is 1080p really gone the way of the dodo? 4K OLED coming strong? How prepared should you be? Will that HDMI cable that cost you $300 really make a difference? NAB, CES, MegaCon, Comic-Con, Cedia, Anime Expo. What conventions should we be attending or paying attention to? What televisions are the best? Samsung, Panasonic, Toshiba, Sony? What Blu-ray player is the best to buy? Oppo, Sony, Panasonic, Samsung? Who knows? But that's the beautiful journey we're going to take here at IKP's Digital Film Podcast. So kick back, relax, and enjoy our sexy Digital Film Podcast. Yeah. Welcome to IKP's Digital Film Podcast again. I'm Ruben, and I unfortunately am flying solo once again. So you're going to hear me ramble. What I will ramble about, I don't know. I mean, it's IKP Digital Film. We can talk all sorts of shit. We can talk about, you know, fucking dedicate a whole fucking hour to, you know, why Betamax is fucking superior than VHS. You know, if we want to go back a few years, you know, and get into that argument. or why DVD was better than VHS. Why Letterboxd was... Why Laserdisc, if you were a Laserdisc owner, and how Laserdisc was the only way to get Letterboxd format movies for a while. And the evolution of having the proper aspect ratio in a movie, and the fight on normal consumers thinking that their movies were all of a sudden chopped up and cut and cropped. And, you know, I worked at a Blockbuster. It was one of my first jobs back when DVD started, you know, catching on. I mean, we had a section of DVDs that came out, you know, and I was, you know, always a big adopter of actually, you know what? Before I get into this, unfortunately, Sherry could not take the sabbatical that we were hoping for. But the project in hand, it does start this weekend. We did order a camera. I'm not going to get into, you know, what camera, because I had a discussion with Sherry, and, you know, with Sherry, and, you know, with my daughter and everybody else here at IKP, and we kind of decided that we wanted to, you know, if someone were to ask, like, you know, what equipment we're using, you know, everything does come, you know, we love to volunteer information. I think information I don't think information should ever be held. I mean, I hate when people really hold on to information as if, like, well, if I give you this, you're gonna use this and make something that I created that was special, and then you're gonna know the trick and blah blah blah. It's, no, man, it's like, it's, if you give someone a certain type of information that they could use in terms of filmmaking or a trick in visual or practical effects or special effects, or, you know, what have you, you know, or how to burn something or record something in a more, you know, sexier format, you know, a higher quality format, whether it be, you know, editing or exporting, or if you know some sort of secret that, you know, processes video less or whatnot. You know, I know a lot of people that don't like to divulge how they edit or how they their export settings or how they color or what their camera settings are, or, you know, because they don't want, you know, it's like, oh, it's mine, you know, if I give this to people, then I won't be able to stand out in the crowd. But you got to understand, to me, information about filmmaking or processing video, film, what have you, you know, someone could take that information and build upon that, and that's how we get to different points of not only technology, but you know, you give someone a piece of information and then they take that information and use it and build upon that, and such as thing, you know, things start, you know, fat starts to marble, and well, there you go. So, you know, I don't think anybody should, you know, keep things a secret. I mean, if you do something a certain way and you're afraid that someone's going to steal that idea and either copy you or make something better, then, you know, you should challenge yourself to come up with a newer idea and then give that to someone. And then, you know, and what if they build upon that idea, and then you can take that idea back with what they've built upon and see what you can do with that idea, and so on and so forth. And once again, you know, fat marbles. And so anyway, so, you know, kind of lost track, but such as the cameras and equipment that we're using, one of the things I don't want to discuss is cameras, because cameras are kind of controversial. You know, you in this day and age, for some reason, in the independent film community, and I would call it independent film, I mean, I don't even know if I should call it independent films, in the YouTube Vimeo quote unquote test, independent films, what have you, there, you know, a lot of people talk about what cameras they use, what lenses they use, what settings they use, and whatnot. And the problem is that once you start, lately, for some reason, once you start discussing what camera you use, especially, there's a stigma that is attached to you. And it's fucking, all of a sudden, you know, it's like, okay, you know, there's a preconceived fucking notion. Like, okay, well, if you're using a fucking Red, you know, and then there's a vast majority of people that don't like fucking Red for whatever reason. You know, the company, the arrogance, that maybe they have come across fanboys and you know, don't realize that some people just use it as a tool for creating art, if you will, you know, which is ultimately what we do. Or a Canon 5D, if they still shoot with DSLRs, or, you know, it's like, fuck, I still use a T2i. Not me, but I'm just saying, like, if I said, hey, I still use a T2i, it's like I would have this preconceived notion, like, well, you're the fucking, like, amateur, and fuck you, and I'm not gonna fucking watch your shit, because, you know, I'm beyond this, you know. So, you know, I you know, whether I use a 5D Mark III, two, whether I use a DSLR or a 4K camera or a Blackmagic Cinema camera or a Sony 700, FS100, F65, an Arri Alexa, a fucking VHS or Betacam or Hi8 camcorder or HD DV, whatever I choose to use for video podcasts, blogs, behind the scenes, you know, some BTS or my music video tributes or whatnot, I kind of want to keep to myself. I mean, I'll divulge the information if someone really, really wants to know, but to kind of put out there what equipment we're using not only seems to me counterintuitive in terms of how people judge you in lately about, like, okay, well, you're using that kind of equipment, you know, that's not who I'm paying attention to. Because, you know, I don't know if you guys know, there's this show called Film Riot, and the host is, his name's Ryan Connolly, and he does a lot of DIY. Essentially, the show is a DIY filmmaking, you know, like how to make films on a you know, modest budget, and how to do it yourself, you know, essentially. And I remember when he started, it was 2 years ago, I think, or a year ago. I can't remember, but he got his hands on the Red Epic. And I remember that Ryan did say that if he saw a comment on I don't know if it was YouTube or Revision 3, that if, you know, one of the comments was, or several comments to the effect that if you start using this camera, I'm going to stop watching Film Riot. which essentially, there you go. You. It's about the art, and at the end of the day, show has to evolve, and things have to evolve, and you can't stay. You know, a DIY show can still be DIY. Just apply the same techniques. Say someone is using a Red camera and shooting 4K or 2.5K with a Blackmagic Cinema camera or what have you, you know, expensive camera that you can get your hands on. Well, one, there's always the option of renting, which is very cheap. And but two, if all you have is like a T2i or a GH3 that's hacked or you know, if you're just shooting with an iPhone, you know, take those tips, and they can be applied to those kind of cameras. I mean, just because someone uses an expensive camera doesn't mean you should stop watching them, because there's always information that can be attained instead of saying, fuck you, you know, I won't fucking watch you because you're using this $5,000 camera that I can never afford and whatnot, you know, because then you shut yourself off to possible knowledge that you could use in the future, because you don't know if you're going to be able to get your hands on that particular camera or that particular piece of tech in the future. And so we've kind of made the decision to kind of try and stay low key about what camera or cameras, because you know, I've made the decision to use several different cameras, depending on what I'm doing. If I'm doing a full production on a music video tribute, then I'm gonna pull out a certain type of camera that I want to shoot with, and you know, each camera has its aesthetics. In fact, it was kind of funny the other day. I was telling Sherry that the Blackmagic Cinema camera reminds me of the Thomas Viper camera. You know, in terms of its focal length and just the way the images produce it, it does remind me a lot about the Viper camera. If you guys seen footage from the Thomas Viper camera, Fincher used it a lot. I remember go watch Collateral with Tom Cruise and Jamie Foxx. The Viper camera was used in that movie, and Zodiac. And Benjamin Button used the Viper camera, and it kind of reminds me of that. So it's kind of funny. It's a very good camera, very good camera, and 2.5K. Anything above 1080p, I'm all about, man. You know, future foremost. You know, 1080p full HD is very, very beautiful. But will it stand the test of time? Yeah, it'll stand the test of time. Especially if you could upscale it to 4K, but I think that 4K is the future. Anything above 1080p, obviously, we should be striving for. But anyway, so yeah, so she couldn't take a sabbatical due to, you know, work is work. You know, our middle child got sick. She got pneumonia, and we kind of, I mean, she spent a couple of days in the hospital, and that kind of put us back. But what I'm gonna do is we're gonna take a lot of still photography, and we're gonna do a couple of video blogs that won't come out right away, or video podcasts that won't come out right away. They'll come out when the video comes out, because it's all gonna be kind of linked with the music video tribute. But we will be releasing photographs soon. That are kind of themed to our company logo and our company colors, which we kind of decided on just plain black and white and gray. You know, once again, going with the minimalistic look, and we kind of figured, you know, ditch the red and you know, classic black and white, you know, and gray. And I don't know, there's something about that I like. You know, IKP. So we're gonna do a couple different photos, you know, some fun photos, some production photos, some BTS photos, some behind the scenes photos, and other stuff this weekend. So it should be a fun weekend. So what I'm doing is just kind of talking to you right now. So getting back to the DVD, it was kind of funny because I remember working at Blockbuster. And it was my first year there. I can't remember what year it was, but it was the year that DVD the players were I think about $200 at the time, $200 to $300 at the time, the Blu-ray player, the DVD players. And DVDs were, about the price of Blu-rays right now, if not more, anywhere between $24 to $30. So, it was relatively new, and we only had a certain section. We still had a wall of VHSs, and if you guys remember walking into Blockbuster, I mean, you'd go to the walls, and you'd rent your VHSs, and you think, blah blah blah. So the DVD technology was new, and I was all about it. You get a definitely sharper picture. You didn't have to rewind. There was no degradation of picture because of continued use. The only thing you had to do is just be careful because it wasn't as immune to scratches as fucking Blu-rays are. Now the coating that Blu-rays have is amazing. You have to, I mean, they scratch still, but they're more they're less susceptible to surface scratches. So. But essentially, DVD had the original aspect ratios and a lot of special features and commentaries and shit that enthusiasts, movie enthusiasts, I mean, purists, if you will, were like fucking jizzing all over the place. Like fucking DVD was like the fucking shit. This is how it was meant to be seen. I'm watching my 235:1 aspect ratio. No fucking pan and scan for me. No fucking bullshit like that. Fucking 5:1 DTS if you got lucky, but it was usually Adobe Digital 5:1, and it was fucking awesome. But then you had the crowd, the normal consumers that weren't, they fucking didn't know about fucking letterboxing and they weren't used to it. So, they would fucking be like, "What the fuck is this shit?" I remember they would come in and it's like, "Look, I'm trying to get into this DVD shit, but you guys, I'm seeing a little image and fucking like you guys the black bars, what's up with that? I want to see the whole image." And for a while there were a couple DVDs that did offer the choice of full screen, they called it. Which is, a pan and scan, and it would fill up the entire 4x3 image. Because, at the time, there was a couple of 16x9 televisions, but not that many, and they were CRT televisions. And so there were everything was kind of just evolving towards that. It was evolving towards, okay, let's start presenting this material as it was meant to be seen. So not only did the material source, such as DVDs, had to start representing the correct aspect ratio, but there was, DVD offered the ability to put on a disc. I mean, you could just navigate and get to the sections you wanted to. The commentaries were something new, so you got to hear the director throughout the movie, and that was just like, fucking tits for me. Like I would fucking sit there and I would, to this day, like I listen to commentaries. I love hearing the inside of directors and actors and their inner thoughts of the movie making process, and how they felt. It's fucking, it's amazing. So like when DVD came out, I was just like, fuck yeah, DVD, like fucking, we got fucking widescreen and fucking proper aspect ratio. Yeah, I got a fucking 4x3 television, but who gives a shit? Like I'm watching it the way it was intended to. But say, I was like, then you'd get to the complaints, and then you'd have to explain what letterboxing is, and that you're actually watching it as the director intended. You're actually watching it the way you watched it in the cinema. And understandably, people had CRT 4x3 televisions, so when you had a, like, especially a two a CinemaScope letterbox, the image certainly did look smaller, on a 4x3 television. So I can understand the complaint, but it started growing and it started becoming, and little by little I did see the phase out of VHS. And it was amazing to see because, DVD took off in a big bad way. It was a little section, and every week that section would grow and we would get shipments in, And little by little, before you knew it, within a year, like most of the VHSs on the wall were, there was VHSs, but there was like Blu-ray, DVDs. There would be a DVD version and the VHS version of the movie. And, people started actually renting DVDs. They liked the convenience of it. Some people, didn't like it. So they still held on to the vid. But eventually, like I said, I actually worked there long enough to see VHS pretty much phased out of Best Buy to the point where, most of the wall was, most of the rentals were DVDs, and there were still complaints, and still to this day there are complaints about letterboxing, even now with widescreen televisions, 178, 116 by 9 aspect ratio televisions. I bought a fucking widescreen television and fuck is still getting black bars. What the fuck is this bullshit? I thought it was supposed to eliminate black bars, never fully understanding that an aspect ratio is different for each director. They choose their aesthetic. There could be a 185:1 and aspect ratio, which has the most minimalistic buyers, a wider scope, and then you got the cinema scope, which is anywhere from 235, 239:1 to 241, and that's your big cinema scope, letterboxing. Sometimes you just have a full 16 by 9, 178:1, 177:1 aspect ratio, which you get no black bars. It fills up the entire. A lot of people like that. So you still have kind of those arguments, but as time goes on, people, it's going away. But yeah, man, I fucking remember, man, when DVD came out, I fucking like it was like, oh, I'm gonna fucking jizz all over this shit, like it's fucking badass, So when Blu-ray came around, well, when HD DVD and Blu-ray came around, it was like, there was, obviously there was a format war, but my first high definition format, which was HD DVD, I tended to go towards Toshiba, and I remember buying a Xbox 360 and HD DVD player, and it came with King Kong, I remember, and I bought a I think it was Jarhead and a couple of other HD DVDs. And the cool thing about HD DVD was that you had on one side the HD DVD, and on the other side you had the regular format DVD. So that was pretty badass. And HD DVD was badass. It was my first introduction to high definition movies. And man, was there a difference, especially if you had a 1080p television. And then obviously the format war went on, and HD DVD lost, and then Blu-ray. So essentially I just wanted my hands on HD material, full HD 1080p. I wanted the extras, everything, so Blu-ray won, obviously, so I'm pretty happy about that. In some ways I still think that HD DVD was a little bit superior, and there were things about it that I liked, but Blu-ray, by no means am I complaining. There are certain Blu-rays that are just mastered horribly. They're just kind of like, I think they just throw the damn movie on there and be like, here, it's fucking 1080p. It's not, they don't do a full like 2K scan or a really good scan or transfer or clean it up, or because when you transfer a movie to Blu-ray, I mean, for me as a filmmaker, I would like to have my movie go back to, if I can find the original source print, and do a scan of it, and clean it up, and try to faithfully reproduce the original, intention. And you do get a lot of them, especially now, like some of the new movies, especially that are shot on digital, a lot of shit's shot on digital, so just, it's easy to transfer to Blu-ray. So there's a lot of good material on Blu-ray. So I'm glad Blu-ray's taking over now. 4K is coming within the next 5 to 6 years, and I'm excited to see that. So I'm gonna fucking jizz all over 4K too, man. If these fucking sexual comments are, putting you off, just look away because, it's just fucking, yeah. I'm just like, I'm just gonna be like, oh yeah, there we go. 4K, Yeah, so I'm all about high definition, and I remember the Betamax and the VHS wars, and Betamax was in video quality was superior to VHS. VHS obviously became took over because it was more affordable and cost effective to use VHS and whatnot. So I was an avid collector of VHS movies, and I remember always trying to find the there was very few VHSs. This was right before DVD started taking over. There was a few VHSs that if you looked really hard, I don't know if you remember, that were widescreen, and they would have the widescreen logo on the top of the VHS, and it would be in purple letters. It would be like wide, and then it would be split by I forgot what it was, split by something in the middle, and then it would say screen, and it was in purple banding. And I would try to find those VHSs, and then the DVDs came out, especially Superbit DVDs. That was a way to get the highest quality of audio, especially DTS. A lot of Superbit movies were in DTS, and were they were able to. I mean, they ditched. They used the entire disc to just master to get you the best video and audio quality. So they ditched, extra features and whatnot. But I remember Superbit DVDs and whatnot. I mean, I remember my cousin bought a Laserdisc player, and we for a while there. We watched a bunch of laser discs, and I'm going down memory lane there. It's amazing how technology's come very, very, very far in terms of, like, it's everything's so fucking instant. I mean, you can, with YouTube and Vimeo and all these, Netflix, Vudu, Flixster. I could keep naming shit, and Amazon Instant and Hulu Plus. There's so many things now that weren't, So, I mean, so much so that I can't remember the last time I watched cable, man. If it's not on the internet, I usually don't watch it because, every like even The Walking Dead, I just fucking ordered the season pass on iTunes for like 24 or 30, I don't know if it was 24 or $30 or whatever. You get a couple of behind the scenes footage and stuff, and I wait a day, on Monday, and then I get a full 1080p, no commercials, Walking Dead thing, and it's a beautiful thing. I don't have to worry about recording it. It just kind of downloads straight to my Apple TV, and there it is, no commercials, it's full 1080p. Yeah, there's no 5.1, but it's just become the kind of like that, like whatever we like, we kind of just queue it up or we find it. And especially because we watch a lot of internet specific internet based television shows, like if Revision 3 has a lot of good shows like Techzilla, HD Nation, I'm not sure. No, Home Theater Geeks is a podcast. So there's, like stuff like that, like there's a lot of shows, a lot of tech shows, on independent channels, online channels. So yeah, I'm a little bit out of the loop sometimes when it comes to especially celebrity news. I used to watch E News Live, E News, E News a lot, and Talk Soup. I remember Talk Soup back in the day. I used to watch E a lot, I remember. But now it's streaming and Blu-rays. You know, I got such a Blu-ray collection and whatnot. And it's kind of funny. The most recently, since I became more interested in you know, accurately representing picture quality, been interested in calibration televisions and whatnot. And I recently picked up a Oppo Blu-ray player. I think it was a BDP 103. Was suggested to me by a couple of professional calibrators as the, you know, if you're gonna watch a Blu-ray, and make sure you know, it's got a good video processor and a couple of extras, and you know, it's a $500 Blu-ray player, and you're like, well, fuck, if I have 500, but you know, it does make a difference. I mean, if you have a properly calibrated TV, you know, I received it the other day. It's built like a tank, and you know, I was watching, what was I watching? I think one of the first things I threw in, because I also bought an AVR. I was shamefully using a home theater in the box. I was so fucking lazy. You know, I had all this other stuff going on. So I remember earlier this year. No, earlier in 2012, I think it was in June, I was gonna do an AVR, you know, but I'm fucking lazy when it comes to putting shit together sometimes, and I was like, fuck it, I'll just get a home theater in a box, you know, and I got, you know, Sony. So Sony would sound never let me down. Maybe because I don't know any better, but yeah, so I bought a Sony AVR with, you know, with the built-in. I mean, a Sony home theater in box with the built-in, you know, Blu-ray player, speakers, and whatnot. The speakers failed me after a month. They became distorted, so I ended up buying Polk Audio bookshelf speakers and tower speakers for a very affordable price. And man, dude, the mid-range and the sound uniformity and Polk subwoofer, it's amazing. But I wasn't really reaching the potential because the Blu-ray player was, for some reason, even when I had the ISF calibrator come and calibrate my television, he was even saying, it's like your Blu-ray player and this home theater in a box is for some reason producing a softer image than a normal Blu-ray player. You know, and I thought all Blu-ray players at this point, you know, all created equal. It's like, yeah, you know, maybe one is sharper than the other. I don't know if it uses a different kind of processor, but ultimately, you know, Blu-ray is Blu-ray. HD 1080p, come on. How different could it really be? Well, it is really different. So, I swapped it out with my daughter's Blu-ray player. She had a Sony dedicated Blu-ray player, and yeah, it did make a difference. The blacks, it brought out the calibration even more. The blacks were inkier, and it was a sharper image. And yeah, it was really good. So then I decided, well, you know, I've been getting these recommendations, you know, and I had saved up for an AVR and a Blu-ray player, and I was like, well, you know, the Oppo. Or Oppo, tomato tomato, BDP 103 was $500, and you know, I took the leap, especially because it's it does 4K, so you know, I'm kind of future proofed on that. And I bought a Sony AVR for, I actually got it at a normal price, was a little bit over $500 or $500. It's the 1030 Sony AVR with the built-in Wi-Fi, and I got it for $399 on sale. And the reason I chose Sony, because I was gonna get a Marantz, or Denon, because I wanted the Odyssey Multi EQ. But you know, after reading so many reviews and so many of this, I kind of got a headache, and I just went with what I knew. It's like, one thing I did know about Sony is that Sony, on sound, at least for me, has never let me down. You know, like it's always had a pretty good sound. So I went with the 1040. Is it 1040? The AVR 1040. I can't remember. Sorry if I am wrong. But it's the one with the built-in Wi-Fi. I think it's the only one with the built-in Wi-Fi. I attached them. I did the whole banana plugs. Bought some speaker wire, and with the Oppo, I connected it. I used it as a video processor. I connected my Apple TV to the Oppo, and everything's kind of everything video is running through because it's got two HDMI ports in. And it's got two HDMI ports out. You could use it to display multiple, the same image on two monitors, or you can do a split AV, which for the best picture quality, you do HDMI out one straight to the TV, and the other HDMI out for pure audio straight to the AVR. And that's what I ended up doing. And there is a significant difference. And you know, I'm definitely never getting a home theater in a box again, and I'm always going to get my television calibrated. Hopefully, I'll be able to get certified. It's expensive, some of the jobs, but until then, I found myself a pretty good calibrator. His name's Barry, and I've talked about him, and anybody that needs to know his link, he does calibrations in the Orlando area, and he's really good at what he does, man. An 8-hour calibration job on my 55-inch Samsung LED TV. So very satisfied. And he recommended the Oppo and a couple of other things. So I ended up, dropping the coin. You know, I don't usually drop that much coin on stuff. I usually buy stuff for my family. I got 3 kids, you know, 4 cats. No more 7 cats, 4 cats. That's a whole nother story, you know, and, so yeah, and wanted to build a semi, ultimate home theater. I was planning to get the Panasonic VT50 65-inch, but, that's going to have to wait a little bit longer. I want the price to drop just a little bit more once the ZT series and the ST series, the new plasmas come out from Panasonic and all the new TVs come out, and then, hopefully I can get a good deal on the VT50. Also, my wife met someone that works for Panasonic that could get us a pretty good deal. So we're waiting on that. So until then, no rush. Because ultimately, when I upgraded to the Oppo Blu-ray player and the new Sony AVR, it breathed new life into the television. And I thought I knew what Blu-ray was. I thought I knew that. I was wrong. There's, like, you watch fucking a Blu-ray on the Oppo on a properly calibrated television. I mean, it's so sharp. It's tack sharp and it's smooth, especially if you turn the 24p mode on and your TV's capable of producing that 24 hertz 24p mode. Just make sure you turn off the interpolation, and there's less judder and motion blur, and it's such a clear picture. It's astounding to watch, and the sound is beautiful coming from the AVR and the Polk audio speakers, and ultimately everything didn't cost me that much. I think the most expensive thing was the Oppo Blu-ray player, but I got everything on sale. You know, you got to look for the sales, man. You know. And, so I'm pretty happy. I've been playing with it for a little bit, and I haven't really watched a full movie because, you know, Sherry's been working and I kind of want to experience, but the things I have watched, I've been doing a couple tests and just seeing like the difference between, and, I'm truly, like I said, it breathed new life into a television that isn't old at all, but to the point where it's like, man, I could keep this TV for a while. I could definitely wait. You know, that was my thing. It's like, at first I wanted the VT50, the Panasonic VT50, like right away. Like, I want this, you know, and then I got this, I got the Oppo and the AVR and yeah, it was amazing. So I recommend checking out those two companies. Not the two companies, but check out Oppo. They got a couple of Blu-ray players and video processors and stuff. Check them out. And if you got the scratch, I recommend their Blu-ray players. They won't disappoint, especially if you have a separate AVR. And even if you don't, if you have a properly calibrated television, you will get the best picture quality that you can get from a Blu-ray. Very, very happy. That's what's going on lately, and I'm very happy to get started on some of this some of the behind the scenes, or BTS, if you will, for this music video trivia that's been fucking taking so long to do. So also, I'm gonna jump in to Injustice, Gods Among Us video game. Like, I'm not a gamer. My wife's a gamer. My daughter's a little bit of a gamer. My brother's a gamer, but my wife's a real gamer. She loves video games in a big bad way. So, me, I like video games, but I'm very selective. I came from, we all come from, some of us from our generation come from Super Mario Brothers, old school stuff like that, Pac-Man, Pong, So, sometimes I find video games a little bit, especially if they're too complicated and I can't get further, I get all pissed off and I'm like, why do they make this game? I don't Fucking 5 minutes into it, I can't do anything. I'm like, all right, fuck this. But there's the occasional game that I get into, and Mortal Kombat, the newest Mortal Kombat. Well, Mortal Kombat versus DC was one of the first ones that got me back into to playing with the Xbox 360. I bought an Xbox 360 just for the kids and the wife, and they had a couple of games they played on there, and I've had an Xbox from its first iteration, and I've played a couple of different games with my cousin. But I was always, he would always play, and I would always be like, helping him just by watching and be like, hey, go take a look at that, go take a look at that. So I knew about the technology, the Sony PlayStation 2 and the Sony PlayStation and the PS3, but I was always partial to the Xbox. And one of the games that actually got me in, there was two games. There was one game, it was the Ghostbuster game that came out that got me interested, because I'm always a big Ghostbuster fan, and just to play as with a proton pack and a true Ghostbuster game, which essentially was Ghostbusters 3. That got me into to playing a game. So I played that, I think on the intermediate level, and I beat the whole game. It took me a couple of days to beat the whole game, but it was my first time playing a I think it's RPG it's called, game where you're just kind of role playing as one character, and you go through all this. So it was pretty fun. It was If you ever loved Ghostbusters, just fucking firing that proton pack was pretty badass. It was a little bit complicated, but all in all, I was pretty satisfied with the game. But the game that really, had me playing day and night with my wife and my kids and everybody was, I remember Mortal Kombat versus DC Universe. Because it was like the first, we're big like DC Universe, and even Marvel fans. And definitely Mortal Kombat. I had played almost every iteration of it from time to time. I would always go after school in junior high, and there was a comic book store, and they had the I can't remember what Mortal Kombat version they had at the time, but you would play on the you'd play an arcade game, and everybody was there, and everybody knew how to do fatalities. I just knew how to do basic moves. So it was always an interesting game. And then when it came to, like, I think it came to the Super Nintendo. I'm not too sure, but I know it came to the N64 platform, and I think it did come to the original Xbox platform. And I know there was a mashup. It was like all the Mortal Kombats. It was like a collection that came in for the PS1, the PlayStation, the original PlayStation. So I was always a fan of like Street Fighter, or you know, Mortal Kombat. And when Mortal Kombat vs. DC Universe came out, it was pretty badass because, you know, you could fucking play as the Flash, you know, it was one of my favorite characters, and fucking fight against Sub-Zero, Scorpio, or you could fucking pit Superman against Batman, and it was really badass. Now came, you know, they rebooted the franchise. I would call it a reboot, so they came back with Mortal Kombat, but it was like everything that you loved about Mortal Kombat, but like with better graphics, and it was side scrolling, and they kind of took it back to as much as the original state. You know, they took the 3D format out a little bit and took it back just to two-dimensional side scrolling with really good graphics and a really good Xbox Live. I love the King of the Hill thing where you can, you know, log into a room, you can join a room where people are waiting in line, and you can virtually see your avatar waiting in line to fight many people around the world. And I thought that was a pretty cool implementation, and you can fight people online, talk trash, and we played that game like seriously, I think for like 6 months straight, like day and night, like any chance we got, we would play Mortal Kombat, the newest one. And now Injustice Gods Among Us is coming out, and that to us is like the ultimate fighting game. I can right now tell you, the second we get it, we already pre-ordered it, and I can tell you right now that we're probably going to be playing this day in, day out for the next. I mean, we're probably going to lose 6 months of sleep playing this game. Like I said, I'm not a big gamer, but when it comes to stuff like that, I mean, come on, man. You know, you could play as Batman, Green Arrow, The Flash, all these DC Universe characters, and there's still stuff that hasn't been announced, and right now there's these tournaments that are going each week. I think the tournaments are going on until the release in April, where there's always two tournaments. Right now the first tournament was Batman versus Bane, and it was Harley Quinn versus Wonder Woman, and you got to vote on the Injustice website on who you think would win the battle royale. And then after the week was over of voting, you would see the fight. They would actually play out the fight, and then based on the votes, that's who won. So you got to see the fight, and there you go. And then so today's this week's two matchups are The Flash versus Shazam, and the Joker versus Lex Luthor. So I voted for, you know, the Flash. You know, Flash. Gotta represent the Flash. I mean, the Flash, dude, the fastest man alive, dude. By the time the guy gets to, you know, Billy gets to say Shazam, you know, I mean, by the time he says shit, you know, the Flash is just like there and pop, 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 you know. So the Flash. I'm voting for the Flash. Not that I don't like Shazam. I think Shazam's pretty badass. But, you know, I got to give it to the Flash. Fastest man alive. And as for the Joker versus Lex Luthor, I got to give it to the Joker. I just love the Joker. I mean, how could you... You know, Lex Luthor is very intelligent, super genius. I mean, fucking one of Superman's greatest foes. And, but, you know, Joker's fucking crazy. Criminal genius. Clown prince of crime. Unpredictable, so you can't really, you know, how could you find someone that's willing to go the distance and not only be unpredictable, but is generally psychotic and a genius himself in many ways. So I voted for the Joker and the Flash. So go ahead and check it out, vote, and then you can see the fights played out at the end of the week on YouTube. Just go to injustice.com or just type in Injustice Gods Among Us, and they'll take you to the website, and they'll tell you how to vote and whatnot, and you can post like your results on Facebook and whatnot. So, but what I wanted to get to was in between Mortal Kombat, there was a game that really got me not into gaming, because like I said, I'm still not, you know, a Black Ops kind of guy or a Halo kind of guy. I mean, I've played Halo a couple times, but, you know, I'd have to play with the right people I'm not very good at it, but one of the games that I played from standard to expert mode and beat it all and did everything that I mean, I literally did everything, accomplished every task known to man in that game, as far as I know, is Batman Arkham City. That game was so laid out, the atmosphere, the characters, the storyline, the gameplay was, the graphics was just so immersive, and I was never bored, never bored. And I had never played Arkham City, I mean Arkham Asylum. So essentially I beat Arkham City and had to go back and I bought Arkham Asylum and enjoyed that thoroughly too. But I think that Arkham City was a great role-playing game, one of the best Batman games I think out there. And hopefully they make another one. I don't know how they would do it, but it blew my mind. So that's kind of a little insight on my game. I mean, my wife could like literally play these games, and she loves like mystery games and puzzle games and Walking Dead. She's into The Walking Dead big time. She loves horror games and whatnot. But yeah, we're all like anxiously awaiting Injustice because we're all DCU fans, and just to play with the characters that never been available to play with before, such as like Nightwing or Green Arrow and you know Harley Quinn. Very excited about that coming out, and more updates on the you'll be seeing slowly trickle out within the next couple of weeks. Some new photos for the company. Some BTS stuff and for the video and hopefully the video itself. But Sherry's trying to get herself on into a new car, so the video might have to wait. Like I said, she recently got into an accident that once again wasn't her fault, and so she finally found a car that she really wants, and she got a good down payment, but she's got to work her ass off for the next couple of weeks and get the money together. So we're all gonna have to kind of tighten our belts and not too long. And I'm happy for her. She found a car that she really wants, and finally she'll have a car that she likes. Like I said, I'm not a big car guy, but she is. So as far as anything aside from, you know, the little hiccups of my daughter, my 6-year-old getting pneumonia and being in the hospitalized and whatnot, other than that, everything's been going kind of good. I just ordered a editing keyboard for Final Cut Pro 10, which is amazing. It's from Logitech. Bought it at Apple, and it does help a lot. Like I didn't realize how much. You know, it has all the commands. They're color key coded, and it helps a lot to use the keyboard to edit. Like I said, I'm not an editor. I have to edit out of necessity, but that straight keyboard helps out a lot. So yeah, not only that, but Apple TV, man, finally releasing Bluetooth capability. So I fucking love the idea. There's this Logitech K11 back illuminated Bluetooth keyboard that I'm gonna get, and you can connect it via Bluetooth to three different devices, and definitely gonna pick that up because you know using the keyboard. The Mac keyboard, the wireless keyboard on the Apple TV has been a very good delight. You can search easier, you can type things. It's so meticulous, and ugh, it was just so you know, you were using the little remote to type in, you had to go through each letter and da 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 this. So, but using a keyboard and moving the arrows around, you get to places faster, you get to type in. And yeah, so looking into the Logitech K11, or if you want to go the step back, there's a K10. It was specifically made for Windows, but ultimately has the same features, just a little bit of a different design. The K11 is particularly made for Mac, so there's certain keys that are specific. But I love the backlit, because our room is very dark, because we watch movies a lot, and we have a bias light in the back, which provides illumination into the room, but it's meant to affect the picture and bring out the detail more, and the black levels. And I need a backlit keyboard. So other than that, just trying to get back into things. So I figured I'd do a podcast and let you guys know what the fuck's going on. And I'm kind of sad that fucking Sherry didn't get to take that sabbatical, but hopefully one day soon. But thanks for stopping by at IKP Digital Film Podcast, and hopefully you guys enjoyed it, my ramblings and my one-sided talking. So I'll get to discuss more stuff next time, and keep a lookout on our YouTube, particular Vimeo page and Facebook page, where we'll post new videos and pictures of this coming weekend. We'll do our photo shoots and stuff. And we got to do some storyboards and test shoots with some wardrobe for the video. So keep an eye out for the next couple of weeks for new pictures, new photos, digital images, if you will. Maybe some video footage. Maybe some video podcasts, blogs, whatever you wish to call them. And hopefully you enjoy it. So this is Ruben signing off from IKP. And once again, all of us here at IKP, thank you very much for following us and supporting us. And we love you guys. And if I sound a little tired, it's because I haven't slept in a couple of days. It's been a couple of rough days. With the kid being in the hospital. So decided to do the podcast because I had the time and I was a little restless. So wanted to give you guys an update. And thanks for following us. And hope to see you next time. Hope to hear you next time. Wait, hope you hear me next time. Sorry. Once again, I'm tired. But thank you very much for following us. And go ahead and hit that subscribe button on iTunes, and give us a couple stars. You know, rate us, maybe a comment, even if it's just like, cool, pimp, you guys suck, whatever. It'll help our numbers. And Podomatic, if you guys want to just, you know, listen to us on Podomatic, I think there's a rating system there, and like buttons, so hit those. And if worse comes to worse, just subscribe to us on, follow us on Facebook, and follow us on Vimeo, and hit those like buttons, and support us on YouTube, same thing, and follow us on Twitter. And thanks for stopping by at another IKP Digital Film Podcast. So peace, love, and once again, sandwich up my ass. I don't know why I say that. I don't know if I actually want a peanut butter jelly sandwich up my ass, or I just want a peanut butter jelly sandwich. I don't know. But peace, love, though. All right, keep digital film alive. Take it easy, guys. Thanks for stopping by.